All right. Well, good morning. God bless your heart. What a wonderful start in our fellowship this morning, huh?
Yeah.
That was great. Thank you very much, Andrew and Warren and everybody else that participated here. Well, I was really blessed with the verses you shared, Andrew, to open up the fellowship, because they hit right on what I want to share from God's Word. And there's some things that we can identify with in God's Word that will really make a difference in your life, our life, as we live them and believe them. And to get into this, we need to get into God's matchless Word. God's Word is amazing on how it is woven together like a beautiful tapestry. It has many writers, but how many authors?
One.
God Almighty. Because God was in it all the way through its construction and design, you'll see, produces dynamic truths pertaining to life and life eternal. You know, in the next several weeks, we're going to be working toward Resurrection Saturday. We'll be talking about our Lord Jesus Christ and what he did to redeem mankind. So what a wonderful subject for us to work in the next few weeks here. And it's remarkable to see how the Heavenly Father organized God's Word, his own Word. In the Old Testament, we see a lot of sacrifices, don't we? And those sacrifices are wonderful because they pointed toward the ultimate sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. And they parallel the perfect work that Jesus Christ did so that you and I can have eternal life. He became the ultimate Passover lamb, the consummate redeemer, and the dynamic Son of God. I want to share something with you because to work what I want to share with you that you can identify with what Jesus Christ did, I want to show you some things in the Old Testament, all right? And then we're going to look to the New Testament after that and see the parallel of it. I'm going to share with you from Jesus Christ, our approach offering. This is something that David Berge did a few years ago. I had the opportunity to talk to him yesterday, and he's working on another book, to put together these sacrifices that you see in the Old Testament and how they parallel Jesus Christ and everything he did. He fulfilled all the law, didn't he? He did everything perfect that is prophesied in the Old Testament. And to see that is just remarkable. So let me share this with you, and this will help introduce the subject that I want to share with you. Why study the Old Testament sacrifices? A greater understanding of Old Testament offerings can enable us to grasp Jesus Christ and his perfect work of redemption more clearly. Far from an exercise in biblical trivia, this material is thrilling because it expands the understanding of the great and wonderful salvation we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he quotes Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 through 3. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, Christ and his accomplishment, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, continually make the comers there unto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscious of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. These offerings, and that's the end of the quote there, these offerings under the law were a shadow, a silhouette, an outline of the coming Messiah who would offer himself. While these offerings were not 3D technicolor visuals of good things to come, they give a shadow outline of the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ. These sacrifices were set up by God in anticipation of the true and perfect sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So, what I want to share with you is an aspect of the sacrifices. And this one aspect is that they would be without blemish. That the sacrifices that they would give, you know, give to God, were of the best quality, without spot, without blemish. And let's take a look in Leviticus. In your Bibles, go to Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 1. And it says here in Leviticus, chapter 1, verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without what? Blemish. Without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Let's go to chapter 20. Chapter 22. And we'll see here how important it was that these offerings were of the best quality. Verse 21, chapter 22, verse 21. And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep. What's a beeve? It's cows, cattle, not beavers. All right, some people thought that. No, beeves are cows, cattle. Or sheep, it shall be what? Perfect. To be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. These sacrifices that are given to God need to be the best. God's the best, so he would want to receive the best. No blemishes. And it should be perfect so that he would accept them. Verse 22, blind or broken or maimed or having a wound or scurvy or scab, you shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord. You know, people would think, well, golly, I've got to get rid of this. You know, I've got to give an offering of a cow or sheep or something. I might as well give something that's not too good because I'm not going to eat it anyway. You know, what kind of attitude is that? We're giving it to God. See, and he's saying, give the very best, no blemishes. Verse 23, either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in its parts, that mayest thou offer for a freewill offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Okay, it's not going to be accepted if it's messed up. You shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised, or crushed, or broken, or cut, neither shall you make any offerings thereof in your land. Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them. They shall not be accepted for you. Okay, so you get the point here, that these sacrifices needed to be perfect. They need to be of the best quality. Great. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 9, and we'll take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ, who was our sacrifice. In Hebrews chapter 9. We live in a world that we want to look our best, don't we? You know, you ladies, you just, you know, you got to look your best. It's a $1 billion industry out there, right? To have the cosmetics and everything, so you look your best. That, you know, you've got any little pimples or anything, you kind of put some clear cell on it or cover it up. And Make sure you're without spot or wrinkle, huh? Because you want to be attractive, right? Yeah, this is the thinking. We want to be our best. We want to look good in our relationships. Very normal. And here we see that in the offering of the sacrifice, that would be of the best. Okay? So I don't know if in the Old Testament those guys had cosmetics to clean up their cows and sheep to make them look good and cover any problems. I doubt it. All right, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Let's take a look at the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not with of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained what kind of redemption for us? Eternal redemption. The kind of offering that Jesus Christ gave was of such quality that it gave eternal redemption. In the Old Testament, the sacrifices would last for a while, but not too long. They had to keep doing it over and over and over again until the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ, came. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean, if that sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Now this without spot, we're going to take a look at a word here, a Greek word, A-M-O-M-O-S, amamos. Okay? That literally means without blemish. Walter Cummins did some great work in the Greek. I think many of you are familiar with his work, Greek work, and he's definitely a top scholar in that. And he describes this word as without visible defects. Okay? So we get the idea of what this word is here. And it is used and translated in the English without spot here. Okay? That he'd offer Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ through the eternal Spirit, offered himself without spot. No blemish. No defects. He was perfect. And with that, we purge the conscience from dead works to serve the living God. See, we've got a redemption here that's perfect. And we associate with that. We identify with that. And you're going to see it more as I get into it, how vital that is for our life so that we can walk with purity of mind. Okay. Verse 15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might or should receive the promise of what? Eternal inheritance. We're talking about eternity here. They were talking about a few days redemption here, or maybe even a year. In the Old Testament, we're talking about a sacrifice that did it for eternity for us. 1 Peter. Let's look at 1 Peter. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, okay? Not with corruptible things. Our redemption didn't come as a result of corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish. No defects at all. Perfect. No defects at all, without spot. Jesus Christ was that perfect sacrifice who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your believing and hope might be where? In God. In God. Let's go to Ephesians, please. Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, so we've seen this Old Testament requirement of sacrifices deemed their best. And now we see here in the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is that perfect sacrifice, without blemish, without spot. What does that mean for us? Eternal redemption, we've seen that, huh? Okay. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. According as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And this word without blame, some people, probably some of your translations have faultless, but it's this word blemish, A-M-O-M-O-S. I can spell it better than I can say it. It means this without blemish, no physical defects. The New American Bible translates it that way. So here, no blemishes, that we. Now, who's we in this? How do you associate with this verse here? Born again ones, are we a we?
Yes.
We are a we here, all right? So when you read this, that's you, okay? And that's because you've accepted the perfect sacrifice, Jesus Christ. You believe he is Lord and God raised him from the dead, right? Romans 10:9, you got born again. So now you know what you are? A we. All right? You are a we. And look what it says about you and us and we. All right? That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So as you go before God, how does he see you?
Holy
without blemish, no physical defects, no defects at all. Now this is a challenge to our mind, isn't it? We get up in the morning, we crawl up to the mirror over the wash basin. That doesn't look so good. Let me try this other mirror. But if by chance, when I got up and I started maybe speaking in tongues and thinking about God, that, hey, I'm a son of God, and I looked in that mirror, what would I see?
The glory of the Lord.
The glory of the Lord. I would see something that is without blemish. See, you're going to save on cosmetics, I tell you. This is true, right? Is God's word true?
Yes.
Okay. You rather believe the truth or a lie? I'm with you. Me too. Verse 5. Having predestinated or foreordained us unto the sonship of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved. And I read this verse here because we are accepted in the beloved. We are highly favored. Because no blemishes, no defects, God has accepted us. We are accepted before him. We're on his team. We're on his side. We are accepted before him. Okay? It's a great thing. I remember as a kid, you have a ball game going on, and the biggest guy in the block, he would say, okay, you other kids, the two big guys would be the team captains, and they would start picking on who's on what team, And of course, the worst thing that could happen is that you're picked last. How do you feel? You don't feel like you're accepted, right? So, but on God's team, you're highly favored. He's accepted you. I don't care what your background is. The most important background in your life is that you believe God's word. You got born again in God's spirit, right? Great background. Everything else really doesn't matter. I mean, it really doesn't matter when you think about it. Because the spiritual truths far outweigh the physical ones. Ephesians 5:20. Isn't that fantastic? You and I are without blemish before Him. 5:27, that He might present to Himself, what kind of church? A glorious church. Not a church that's, you know, people are all bummed out, and I'm an old Christian here, I'm down and out. No, a glorious church. I'm excited. I'm born again. No blemish. I'm perfect before Him. I've got His righteousness. I'm sanctified in Christ. I'm redeemed. The perfect sacrifice paid the price for me. Man, oh man. Present a glorious church, not having what? Spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. See? We've got to have that attitude in our mind. We've got to rise up in our mind. What was that verse in Corinthians we were looking at?
2 Corinthians 10:25.
Yeah.
The weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty.
Yeah, but we want to bring all our thoughts into captivity to what?
Obedience
of Christ. Man, oh man. See, all of our thoughts, we want to grab those babies and think the word. Have your thoughts think who you are in Christ. Let's go to Jude 24, then we'll come back to Colossians 1:22. Okay, Jude 24. I threw this one in because we rarely read Jude. It's just, somebody said Jude was upset because nobody reads it, so let's take a look at Jude 24. Jude, Revelation 24. It's so small it doesn't have a chapter. Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with a little bit of joy. With exceeding joy. What a lifestyle we have to live. Isn't that fantastic? Man, oh man. I look at this world and everybody's bummed out and worried about this and that. And hey, don't look at the world. Look at the Word. God's Word. And then have your reflection based on what you see in God's Word and who you are. Okay, back to Colossians 1:22. Colossians 1:22. In the body of His flesh through death to present you, here it is again, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in whose sight? His sight, God's sight. That's what He says. Does He mean what He says? He does. He does. This is fantastic. A couple more verses here. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. And the word rebuke is this A-M-O-M-O-S word. Okay? Without blemish. Okay? Without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. We shine as lights in the world. We're blameless, we're harmless, we're sons of God. No defects, no blemish. We're in this crazy, perverse nation, but you know what we do? We shine as lights in the world. And how do we shine as lights in the world? Next verse, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Man, oh man, when Christ comes back, we got some rejoicing to do, especially if we've been really walking this stuff, right? If we're really working this stuff, when he comes back, we're really going to be rejoicing. Rejoicing in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And I tell you what, I read that verse, and I easily condemn myself many times after reading that verse. And I don't think it's me so much as the adversary influencing me. Because, you know, he says, you know, what did you do yesterday? You know, what did you do for God the day before? I mean, it's not like you're doing a lot of great things for God there, you know. Hey.
Armed and dangerous.
Yeah. What's the truth of God's word? That I can get forgiveness if I need it, right? In the name of Jesus Christ, I get forgiveness. And there's another verse in Philippians that might be appropriate here too, huh? Verse 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So I don't care what your Christian walk has been in the past, don't let the adversary condemn you because of it. Because it's done with. It's forgiven, right? Is this correct?
Yes.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Listen, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's what we do. We just rise up every day to be our best for God, don't we? If we fall short, well, hallelujah, we got another day. And we can walk for God. And we can have that mindset that we can renew our minds, be what God's called us to be. Oh, man. Galatians 2:20. A couple more. Galatians 2:20. Here's some identification things that are really wonderful. I am crucified with Christ. You know, we identify with that, in that we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not me, myself, and I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I win
now
live in the flesh. How am I going to live? I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Wow, isn't that a tremendous verse? This is now for us, okay? It is now for us that we can walk knowing that we've been crucified with Christ. That it's Christ that liveth within me. And he was perfect, wasn't he? So we have perfection to rise up to. We have perfection to rise up to. And every time we fall short, we get forgiveness and we move on. We keep moving. We keep moving. Okay, couple more verses. Romans. We're going to stop here at Romans 6. And this would be your homework here, to read chapter 6 and 7. Because this is some great stuff in light of identifying yourself with Christ. And all we've done today really is to look at this aspect of the blemish, you know, the physical defects of the sacrifice. And we don't have to have those kind of thinking in our mind that we fall short because we're not perfect. We have defects. You know, our five senses, flesh is not very good for God. It's not about that. It's about the Christ in you that's good for God. Well, Romans 6:1, what shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein. That's the reality of it, isn't it? We're dead to sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Walk in newness of life. This is our challenge. This is our life. This is what's exciting for us to live each and every day, to walk in newness of life. Because we have this Christ in us that's perfect and wonderful. Okay? All right, so Heavenly Father, sure grateful and thankful for the realities of your word. That's what makes the difference, Father. I'm so thankful that you made this word available so that we can work it and see it. And to see in the Old Testament how you did all these sacrifices and stuff, and then hundreds of years later, Jesus Christ does the perfect work, accomplishes everything that was in there, and becomes our perfect sacrifice, and that we can see that it's Christ in us, Father, that we can walk in all the fullness, knowing that we are without blame, we are without blemish, we are without spot before you, that we are that Christ person. So thank you, Father, for your wonderful Son, that he would give his life to make this available, so that, yes, God, truly, that we can be armed and dangerous in the future. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, what's next on the agenda? We need to do some abundant sharing. So shall we do that? Have you got that?